Well, welcome back to another week of Quarantine Christianity. We're so glad that you could tune in. I want to just say thank you from the bottom of my heart for your response, for your liking, for your comments, for sharing. It means a lot to us to know that we're not alone, but you guys are actually paying attention, you're watching out there, and you're willing to get involved. So thank you very much for that. Thank you for your generosity as well. Our finances are doing great at our church. Many of you have asked, how is this affecting us? I just want to say God is faithful and our people are faithful. Thank you so much for that. We've been able to do so much. We've been able to go above and beyond and continue to serve people because of your generosity, because your faithfulness. I want to remind you, though, if this is not your home church, and judging by the numbers of people that are viewing this, many of you are adopting us for the week. We love that. We're so glad that you could join us. But make sure that you're supporting your home church. They need your tithes now more than ever. God's going to take care of us. Make sure you take care of your home church, especially if they're not able to get online and bless you in that way. But make sure you're supporting them. That means a lot to us. We've been able to give people rent this past week and pay for little things that they just couldn't come up with. Times are tough. Times are hard. But because God's people are generous, we're able to meet a lot of those needs. So please don't stop giving. Thank you so much for that. It means a lot to us. For those that also have been, you've asked about salvations, and it's really cool to see people every week are texting in to 94090, texting the words "I prayed," letting us know that they've actually accepted Christ through the miracle of the internet. How awesome is that? So the gospel cannot be quarantined, and I love that people are still getting saved. You know, that's the measuring stick of success at our church, is our lives being changed. Is Jesus being lifted up? Are people actually being drawn into the presence of God, and are their lives being changed? That's what matters to us, life change. And so thank you so much for supporting our ministry. It means a lot. I want to turn your attention, if you would, to two passages in Scripture. Both of them are in the New Testament, John chapter 13. And then the majority of our time we'll spend in Matthew 17. So we'll start there in John and then move on to Matthew. I had a couple different working titles for this message, but the first title, if you want to write this down, is not the title I settled on, but I thought it was hilarious. I wanted to include this. The title was "Shut Up, Peter." Shut up. And so this comes from Matthew chapter 17, when God tells Peter to shut up, which actually bears a lot of witness with the things that God tells me on the reg. Shut up. So I just want to talk about a question that I get a lot in ministry, and that's somewhere around the subject of, okay, Pastor, I know that God is showing me something. I just don't know what it is. I sense that God is using this moment, but I don't know how to interpret it. What do I do when I don't get it? When I sense that God is moving, when God is trying to show me something, but I'm not quite sure what that is. I want to show you how to do that today. I want to show you what happens when God is speaking, or when God shows you something that you don't understand, and then how to respond in that moment. There's some very clear biblical things that will help you to navigate through when you feel like God is showing you something, but you're not quite sure how do I handle this. And so that's one of the hardest parts of life, is to know what to do when we don't get it, what to do when we don't understand, what to do when it's just not making any sense. And God wants us to understand His ways and His will. He wants to be very clear with what He's asking of us. Unfortunately, we have so many different competing voices, and the voice of our culture that's screaming at us different things. And so it's difficult sometimes to understand what God means and what He's saying. And I want you to know that God doesn't have a communication problem. But somewhere between our head and our hearts, you know, we have this kind of lost in translation thing that it's difficult for us sometimes to process, you know, and the same was true when Jesus walked the planet. There was many times that He was showing His disciples something, and then they had no clue as to what He was actually doing. You see, they had this agenda in their mind of who they thought Jesus should be and what He should do. And Jesus was constantly flipping the script on all that, saying, "No, I'm going this way. You thought I was going that way." And they're like, "What are you doing? That doesn't make any sense." And he says this in John chapter 13, verse 7. And this has become one of my life verses. Jesus says this: "You don't realize now what I'm doing, but later on you'll understand." And if ever there was a life verse, that's a good one for us to memorize. John 13, 7. "You don't understand what I'm doing. Later on, you'll understand." And here's the thing. Jesus never promises us a life without confusion. He doesn't say that you're going to figure everything out. He never even says you're going to figure it out in this life. Because if we're going to be honest today, there's a lot of things about life that I don't get. I don't understand it. And God, I sense that you're doing something. I don't know what that is. And I don't know what to do. I don't know how to respond to that. You know, in the midst of a global pandemic, when the stock market has crashed, when people are getting sick, when there's fear and panic on a global scale, you cannot tell me that God is shocked by this. Right. He is obviously working here. Yeah. The thing is, how do I figure out what that means to me? Right. And how do I respond to what He's doing? What does He want from me? Right. What is He saying to our world? Good. And so Jesus, when he's questioned by his disciples, God, what does this mean? He tells them, hey, look, you don't understand what I'm doing, but it will make sense later. Now, if that's later on in your lifetime, maybe next week, a month, or a year, you're going to have to trust me. Now, I don't like those words. I don't like when someone tells you, hey, just trust me. That doesn't work for me. Like, no, Jesus, I need you to start from the beginning and talk slowly and break it down in East Texas terms, because I need to figure this out. I need to understand what you're doing. But he calls us to trust. He says, look, you're not going to understand. You're not always going to understand. That bothers me, but I've learned that trying to understand God is a good thing. It's just not always going to be the way that I think it should be. Right. It's not always going to be clear. And you know, when God shows us things and when you sense that he's moving, a lot of times those experiences will kind of blow your mind and it ends up with a panic thing because you don't understand. You ever been in those moments where you're panicking because you don't quite understand? Right. You know, in those moments we say and do a lot of crazy things. And this is exactly what happens in Matthew chapter 17. I want to take you to the story of what's called the Mount of Transfiguration. And I want you to see this amazing thing that God shows his people. He shows it to his three core group, his core boys. And this is Peter, James, and John. And he takes them and he says, hey, you guys want to see something cool? I'm going to show you something that nobody else on the planet gets to see. Now, I feel like that shows that Jesus had a little bit of prankster in him because he is about to blow their mind. And it's so cool to watch what happens. So check this out. In verse 1, it says, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, who were brothers, by the way, James and John. And it says, he led them up to a mountain by themselves. And there he was transfigured. I love how it just throws that out there. He was transfigured. The Greek language says it's metamorpho, which means he transformed, he changed, he became something completely different. Now, I don't know about you, but I've dated a few girls that once... Once you really got to know them, they're completely different. Once they take off the makeup, you're like, whoa, that was not as advertised. But this is completely different. This is a spiritual experience. Jesus takes off his humanity, and for just a few moments, he shows them what a glorified Jesus looks like. He shows us the picture of the Jesus that's coming in Revelations. I mean, he's bright white, and they are freaked out. It says he was transfigured before them. This is the moment where the caterpillar becomes the butterfly, and they saw it. And I want you to put yourself in the shoes of these three disciples as they see this happen in front of them. Can you imagine the amazement, the shock? Oh, okay, God, you're showing us something. What are you doing here? And it says this: he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Imagine if you would. Have you ever had those moments where you're staring at a light bulb for too long and then you try to look away and it's like everything else becomes dots you can't see? This is exactly what happens to Jesus. He just becomes this glowing ball of white energy. And in that moment it says, just then there appeared with him, not just Jesus, but now Moses and Elijah. Okay, now it's not just one, but two other guys just appeared out of thin air and they're shining like Jesus. Freaky. What a moment. And they start talking with Jesus. And think about this. The world has just completely changed right in front of them. Things that they thought were normal have taken a turn for absolutely abnormal. And so what does Peter do? And he's notorious of being the first one to speak, just like me, just like some of you that are out there, you're elbowing your husband like he's talking about you. You have those moments where you don't even know what you're saying, but he has a panicked response. He's freaking out and he starts saying just things that make no sense. It's just nonsense. And if you've ever seen videos of people that got scared or they got startled or it was a jump scare and they just do crazy things or they say the first thing that comes to their mind, which is normally not a very biblical word or two or three in James' case. No, I'm just kidding. But that's what happens when we get scared. We freak out. We say things that just kind of the first thing that pops into your head and it makes no sense. But Peter goes to Jesus. He says, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, I'll put up three shelters, one for you and one for your boy Moses, one for Elijah. I'll build three houses right now. It says, while he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them and a voice from the cloud, God's voice speaks and says this, this is my son whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. Listen to him. Exclamation point. In other words, shut up, Peter. Shut up. That's good. Listen to Jesus. That's good. It says this, when the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. Really? This is what scared you? The voice of God? You just literally saw Moses, Elijah, and Jesus become some kind of white ball of light. And this scares you? When God says, shut up. Mm-hmm. says they fall to the ground, they're grabbing grass, they're trembling, they're freaking out. The original language makes no mistake that these guys are absolutely going nuts. It's a big deal. They are terrified. It says, but Jesus came and touched them and said, get up. And I can imagine when Jesus says, get up, he has to have a big smile on his face. There is no way that you could see these three guys shaking and trembling on the ground because they just heard your dad speaking. You're like, yeah, I know, pretty powerful, isn't it? But he says, get up. And then he tells them this, don't be afraid. It says, when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. You know, in moments of panic, when things are going crazy, a lot of times we lose control of our tongue. We say things that we don't mean. And sometimes that's a funny thing. Sometimes it's not so funny. I remember one time I asked my wife if I could share this story. And we were invited to a vacation. And it was at the beach and we got to do some parasailing. Do you remember this? And so we had never been parasailing, but I'm not a heights guy. So I'm already kind of freaked out. But my wife is afraid of sharks. And so when we're parasailing, I'm getting over my fear by making fun of her fear of sharks, because it's just kind of this passive aggressive thing that we do. And so we're way up in the middle of the air. And so I'm hanging on for dear life. And I'm looking down. I'm trying to calm myself. And we're trying to have a good time, whatever. And so I'm looking around, and, you know, we're way up in the air, just hundreds of feet up in the air, and we can see all the way across the islands. It's just beautiful. It's gorgeous, but I'm ready to get down. But, you know, she's looking next to me, and she's looking at the ocean. I'm like, oh, look, sharks. You know, just saying sharks just to see what happens. Well, she lifts up her feet. We're literally like 300 feet in the air, and she's picking up her feet and trying to figure out where these sharks are. You remember this? And so I'm like, now when did sharks fly? You know, because if sharks can fly, we are all in trouble. But she picks up her feet, and I thought, you know, it's appropriate, because when we're panicked, when we're full of anxiety, we do things that make no sense, right? And this is how Peter is, and he's saying things that he doesn't even understand what he's doing. God's like, hey, shut up. Listen to Jesus. You know, stop freaking out. Jesus says, don't be afraid. And there are some wonderful nuggets that I think God wants to speak to us when he's trying to show us something powerful, but we're missing the point because we're trying to figure it out on our own. Right. Jesus says, look, you're not going to understand this right now, but you will later. Good. And Jesus was trying to strengthen their faith. He wanted them to see that in just a few, just a little bit down the road from here, I'm going to have to go to the cross, and you're going to freak out, but you need to understand that that's not the end for me. And even though you're going to see this body that I'm in, this shell, beaten and tortured and mocked and spit on and crucified to a cross, that's not my real body. And I need you to keep this in mind, because you don't understand this right now. But later on, it's going to help to bring you some comfort when you see things that are going to scare you a lot worse than this. You know, but even after all the miracles and after the transfiguration, this moment that Jesus showed them, they still freaked out and left. But God knows that there's a future for us, even when we've failed and even when we've quit, even when we've gone beyond ourselves. He said, no, you're going to need this when you remember what you've seen and what I've told you. That's good. So there's some things that I want to share with you, and I'll give you five things of what to do when you just don't get it. And that's the title of my message today. I wish I could go with Shut Up, Peter, but I think this will help you just a little bit more. What to do when I don't get it. When I know that God is telling me something, when I sense that God is speaking, but I'm just not sure what that means. And the first one is this. It's very simple. Shut up and listen. Shut up and listen. You know, we tend to overthink and overtalk and let our mouths talk over God. And a lot of times our prayer is that way. We start giving God this list of things that we want, and then we get up and walk out like, wait a minute, God wants to speak. He wants to speak to his children. You have to make room for God to speak. Listen. Listen, close your mouth. I had a great quote from Mark Twain that I posted this week that says, never miss out on an opportunity to shut up. Good. And for some of us, it's time to close your mouth and let God speak. Yep. You know, he's not going to interrupt you. Mm-hmm. God is a gentleman, and he'll wait his turn. So give him a turn. Shut up and listen. I just sense that as a prophetic word for you right now. Right there. I can see somebody elbowing their spouse like, hey, he's speaking, he is reading your mail, right? Shut up and listen. You know, this is important. It's going to make sense later, but listen. Here's the second key I want to make sure that you understand, is to stop freaking out. Right. Lots of times God will walk us through situations that don't make sense, things that cause us to panic, things that cause fear, a lot of anxiety. But, you know, God specifically makes sure that in this moment, that he wants us to walk away from fear and get closer to him. You know, Jesus touches his disciples and said, hey, don't be afraid. You know, that's a recurring theme, by the way. Every time an angel appears, every time Jesus walks through a wall, by the way, he always says the same first greeting. Instead of hello, it's like, hey, don't freak out. Don't freak out. Calm down. You know, I do this. You know, the word fear not appear, those words fear not appear 365 times in the word. I don't think that's a coincidence that there are 365 days in a calendar year. God wants us to not be afraid. And when God is showing us something, that's not the time to be afraid. That's the time to go the other way and start standing in faith. Okay, God, I'm listening to you. What would you have me do? I love Mary's response when the angel Gabriel shows up and he says, hey, don't be afraid. He lists the things that are going to happen to her. And she says, okay, God, I don't understand it, but be it unto me as you've said. Whatever you say, I'm in. So we shut up and listen, and then we stop freaking out. We start freaking in. Stop freaking out. You know, part of walking with Jesus means that we're going to walk through a lot of things that we don't understand. But Jesus says, don't be afraid. And Jesus will not tell you to do something that he's not going to empower you to do.
Right.
You know, the word tells us that his joy is our strength. God wants to strengthen you to walk through times. He wants to give you some joy. He wants you to enjoy your life and enjoy your walk with him.
Right.
It's not a time to be afraid. It's a time to press into Jesus. Mm-hmm. Find some strength there. You know, when I don't understand, I have to put my trust in the one that does. You're not going to figure it all out, but I know that I don't have to. He knows, and that's enough for me. Here's the third thing I want to encourage you with, and that's when you're in a situation when you don't know what to do, when you can't quite get it, learn big. Learn. You know, you'll never understand God's will and God's ways if you're not teachable. And this is something that I had to learn in ministry. You know, I counsel a lot of people, and I'm constantly teaching, and I love my job. I love what I'm doing. But one of the hazards of being in ministry and always pouring out is that you forget that God still wants to pour into you. Mm-hmm. And we reach this place where you think I figured it all out and I've got it all put together, and I am under no illusion that I've got it all figured out. But I want to remain teachable. I want God to be able to speak to me and to show me things. And in order to do that, I have to be willing to learn. You know, a lot of times we get our unwillingness to learn. It keeps us from experiencing anything new from God. We become shut off. Well, and we put God in this box of, well, God, you know, you can only do these things because this is all that I know. Well, that's not a good place to put God. There is no box that can contain him. His word tells us that his ways are higher and his thoughts are higher. He thinks differently than you. He sees the big picture. That's the beautiful part about God, is that I don't have to understand it all, but I just have to trust in the one that does. He's got it figured out. And you know, even though these disciples had seen these great miracles, they couldn't quite figure out what was going on, but God was trying to strengthen them through showing them this powerful transfiguration experience. But he's teaching them. He's showing them something that they would need. You know, I was thinking, you know, why does God bring Moses and Elijah there to speak to Jesus? And there's lots of different theological theories that we can go. We know that Moses represents the law and Elijah represents the prophets. And so you have the law and the prophets here. That's a great way to think of it. There's another theological avenue that we can take where the priest would always inspect that spotless lamb before the sacrifice. And this is kind of a way that they're looking at Jesus and saying, you're the spotless lamb slain for the sins of the world. There is no sin in you. You're able to take on this burden. That's a great way to think of it if you want to think of it that way. But I think there's something different that I've never really seen until I read this week, and I took some time to really study into it. And there's a reason why God brings Moses and Elijah. First of all, Moses was just a man. And it's one thing to see Jesus transfigured in all his glory. It's another thing to see a man that way. Moses was a man, and let's be honest, Moses had his failures. He was a murderer. The Bible tells us that in one scripture, God sought to slay Moses because he had abandoned his family on the altar of ministry. The Bible tells us that Moses disobeyed, and God says, you know, because of your disobedience, you're not ever going to enter the promised land. You know, we look at Elijah, who called down fire from heaven. Dude was a straight God baller. Incredible things that he did. But yet, he gets one letter from Jezebel and he ends up running out to the middle of the desert. He wants to quit. He gets depressed. He gets suicidal. These are human men full of mistakes, men full of depression, men full of disobedience. They're just like me and just like you. And that gives me a lot of hope that these are the men that stand up and begin to speak to Jesus, encouraging him before he goes to the cross. You know, if Jesus himself needed encouragement, what do you think you need? He makes an example for us right there through his word. And it says that Moses and Elijah show up, men with faults, men with a past. You know, I didn't think about this until I saw this, that even though Moses was told that he would never enter the promised land, where does this story take place? In the promised land. Showing me that with God, failure is never final. Here is Elijah, the one that had walked through depression, one that had quit and said, I just can't handle all this anymore. This is the person showing up to encourage Jesus, showing me that there is hope even in the midst of horrible circumstances. I don't have to have it all figured out, but someday this is going to make sense. Right. You know, Moses was walking through a lot of confusion. God, you brought me this far and I can never reach the promised land. And God's like, hey, hang on. It's going to make sense later. I'm going to let you get in there with my son. You know, Elijah was, I'm ready to quit. I can't do this. Don't worry about it. I'm going to use you to encourage my own son before the cross. Amen. With God, failure is never final. And the same is true for you. Failure is never final. And as Elijah and as Moses are sitting here encouraging Jesus, Jesus is sitting here as an example to these three men that are terrified, freaking out on the ground, telling them, look, hey, these are men just like you. And they didn't quit. And they were fallible. They had mistakes. And even when you see me hung on the cross, when you abandon me, when you leave, and people like Peter, who had just spouted off at the mouth, saying all this nonsense, and when God tells him, shut up, you know, Peter comes back after his failure, after turning his back on Jesus, and preaches a message that watches 3,000 people get saved. He is there at the day of Pentecost when God has completely wrecked his life and watched something beautiful rise from the ashes. You know, you're not going to understand everything now, but later on, it starts making sense. Learn big. Take it in. Take it in. Learn. It might not make sense now, but God always can see things that we can't see. He sees beyond our circumstances. He sees beyond our limitations. He sees beyond our failures. And God doesn't judge you for who you are. He's looking at who you could be. I love that about God. He's not limited by my failure. That's good news for somebody today. The fourth thing I wanted to tell you is to get up and look to Jesus. Amen. What do I do when I don't get it? Hey, get up and start looking at Jesus. It says they stood up and nobody else was there except for Jesus. And it says they saw no one else but Jesus. And I know that they're saying in that moment that Elijah and Moses had disappeared and just Jesus was there. But it's also a good scripture if you look at it this way. Hey, get up and don't look at anybody else or anything else but Jesus. Right. Jesus. You know, you're not going to find a lot of answers in the stock market, obviously. You're not going to find a lot of answers in your political party. You're not going to find the answers and understanding the meaning to your life in anything else but Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's our source. He's our strength. He's the one that makes life make sense. There is no sense apart from God. You know, before I decided to walk with Jesus, my life was a mess. It made zero sense. I was struggling, looking for purpose, looking for meaning, looking for what I was created here for, and thinking to myself, is there even a creator? Because life is confusing. But when I found Jesus, or better yet, when he found me, things begin to change. And all this confusion, all the pain that I thought was a waste of my time, that I thought was a waste of my potential, he began to make it make sense. And he wants to do the same for you. God doesn't waste pain. Learn big, and you do that by looking to Jesus. He is the only thing that's going to solve what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. And no matter if you've been walking with Jesus for 5 minutes or for 50 years, we can continue to put our eyes on Jesus and know that in those moments, things of the earth become strangely dim. Focus on Jesus. When you don't get it, focus on Jesus. When you're not sure, focus on Jesus. When you can't figure it out, focus on Jesus. Let me just get back to Jesus. Nothing else makes sense, but in him, I find my meaning. I find assurance. I find purpose. Focus on Jesus. Here's the last thing I want to tell you today. What do I do when I don't get it? And that's tell the story, even if it's a little bit embarrassing. You know, I find it interesting that it was Peter, James, and John here. And John doesn't write this story because he knows it's going to make Peter look bad. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke do. And they weren't even there. So somewhere along the line, this story comes up. Maybe Jesus told them, they recorded it. Peter's like, hey, man, why? Why are you telling the story about the time that God told me to shut up? You know, can we omit that part? Can we leave it out? And it's embarrassing. Think about that. It's embarrassing when you get told to shut up by God himself. But still, there's a story to be told there. You know, people love an embarrassing story. They really do. They love the times when we're talking about I'm afraid of heights, and then I'm pranking my wife and tell her to look out for flying sharks, you know. But there's power there. You know, even if it's a little bit embarrassing, God can use an embarrassing story. God can use the times where you said the wrong thing, and it brings people a little bit closer to you. All of a sudden, it makes you human. And they see that, wait a minute, if you were embarrassed, let me tell you a little something embarrassing about myself. And we find purpose in the pain. We find a little bit of transparency. We find that we can be vulnerable and open to people. This is an important part of your life. You know, not everybody needs to know your secrets, but somebody does. Right. Somebody needs to know. Yeah. You know, if the only person that you're listening to when you're walking through a crisis is yourself, you're taking horrible advice. Yeah. Yeah. But find people that you know. That you can trust, that you can hear their story, and they can hear yours. This is an important part of Peter's life. And I love that later on, Peter does share this story. And I love that he's finally come to own it. And we find this in 2 Peter chapter 1. And Peter says this. He says, "For we didn't follow some cleverly devised story." And I love that because he's pretty much saying, hey, if I was clever and if I had devised this story, I wouldn't make myself look like an idiot. But I'm telling you, this happened, and it makes me look bad. You know, think about all the things that Peter walked through and his failures and his faults, his shortcomings. He would not have told you that if this was some cleverly devised story, because he doesn't look very good. But he goes on to say this, "When we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses to his majesty. I saw this with my own eyes, and it changed me. I didn't understand it then, but I get it now." He says this, "He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, 'This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased.'" He says, "We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on that sacred mountain." Yes. And then he goes on to say, "We also have this prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it." He's saying, look, I found that moment and what happened, I understand it now, and I've put my trust in it. That's completely reliable. And if you were me, and if I were you, I'd tell you that because of that experience that I get now, you would be doing well to pay attention to what my story is. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a time in my life where I'll just embarrass myself. I'll tell you something about myself. But my wife had been away on a business trip for a couple of weeks. And of course, I'd missed her. I love her very much. And she texted me when she was she had just got off the plane and she was on her way home from the airport. And I was, you know, it was late at night and I was watching a movie. And so I saw the text, "Hey, I just got off the plane. I'm on my way home. Can't wait to see you. It's going to be a good night." And I'm like, oh yeah, here we go. Kids are asleep. I'm putting a little cologne on. It's going to be a good night at the Ingram household. And so I picked up the phone and I texted her back all these things that I was planning on doing to show how much I love her, which are only appropriate within the context of marriage and which I will not share. But it was pretty graphic, and I sent it to her dad on accident.
What?
I texted her dad. And so I know, you know, a few minutes later, I noticed that she didn't text me back. I'm like, for sure she's going to text me back. How could you not? Yeah. And then I got a text back and I saw it was her dad. I'm like, huh, I wonder what that is. And he, I just saw that he said, "Well, you really must love my daughter." And I'm like, oh God, what did I do? No. And we still laugh about that when I see him. He's like, he kind of just looks at me like, "Hey, are you texting me or are you texting my daughter?" Like, just don't remind me. Yeah, that happened. But you know, in spite of all the wrong and foolish things I've done, the things that I've said, the times I put my foot in my mouth, the times that I messed up, I'm so grateful that like Peter, God doesn't judge me by those things. And I can use that embarrassing story to show people that I'm human. They can laugh a little bit. In the process, people will understand like, hey, even a pastor is not perfect. He makes mistakes sometimes that are pretty embarrassing. Yeah. You know, when God's moving and doing something powerful, even embarrassing stories, can open up the door to something even better. And I found this out to be true. You know, that you, when Peter and James and John experienced this powerful moment that they would never forget, that even what Peter was saying, he's saying it in the right way. He's just trying to bring some kind of understanding to the moment, and I get that. He said, God, let's build shelters here. Let me build you a shelter. Let me build Moses a shelter. Let's hang out here on this mountain. This is awesome. This is an amazing moment. Let's build houses. Let's stay here. But you know, Jesus didn't mean for that moment to last forever. He meant for it to strengthen their faith. And he said, he tells them by saying, look, Peter, just be quiet and listen. You know, you can stay in those glory moments, but you can't stay there forever. And at some point you have to take those glory moments with you into the valleys. And what was coming next for those disciples would be a tough valley. But God was showing them something that would strengthen their faith, that would bring them back to a relationship with Jesus that ultimately changed the world. And right now, in the midst of a global pandemic, God is speaking. He is all over this thing. His word has gone forth to places that it was closed to. The amount of people that would normally come to our church, which is a lot, by the way, that number has gone times 100 when we're online only. It's crazy. God's turned up the volume on his gospel, and people are seeing this at the furthermost ends of the earth. And God is using our embarrassing stories to find a way to open up something. And you know, you can say, man, I wish that we could have those moments where we were just in a church building. I want to be in that church building. But in all honesty, God has pushed us out into a place that we would never choose, but he's using it for his glory. You see, I don't understand all the things that have happened in our country and in our world. I don't understand why those is happening, but I know that this is happening, and God is using this to make sense of something that I don't get. It makes sense to him. He says, you don't understand what I'm doing, but later on, you will. I want you to take some comfort in that word today. We don't understand what God is doing, but later on he promises us it will make sense, even if it's on the other side of heaven. Mm-hmm. As we close today, I just want to pray for those that are walking through a time that is confusing. It's been a long week. I think for many of us, you're sick of being at home. You've tried to make the best of it, and your faith is at an all-time low. And if we were going to be honest with each other today, you'd say, look, Pastor, I'm barely making it. And these kids are getting on my nerves. I'm sick of the same thing. I'm sick of cleaning. I'm sick of doing dishes. I'm sick of cooking the same things. I'm sick of these walls. I'm ready to get out, ready to do this. And there's not a lot of choices or options. I get that. But in the midst of that, I want to make sure that you don't miss what God is showing you. Yes. Keep a guard over your mouth. Let's listen. Let him speak to you. Yeah, I don't understand it, but I know that God doesn't waste pain. I don't have it all figured out, but I know that God does. And if I listen to him, if I learn, if I'm willing to be patient and take the next step of faith, I can learn big through this. Yes. This can fuel me to become something that I never might have chosen or guessed, but I can see that God's birthing something in me that's powerful. Yes. He wants to do the same to you. So I want to pray for you. I want to encourage you with this message, and I want if you'd be so kind to like this, comment on it, share it with your friends if you would. People need to hear this, especially those that are walking through confusing times. Yeah. If you know people that have low faith, share this with them. Tell them, hey, this helped me, and I'm believing that it'll help you. Share the story. I'm not afraid to tell people. I texted my father-in-law on accident. What's your embarrassing story? Yeah. Would you be willing to share it with somebody else if you knew that it would change their life? Yeah. I am. Wow. God didn't understand it then, but it makes sense now. Let me pray for you today as we close. You know, when someone prays for me, I just like to open up my hands and close my eyes as if someone were handing me a gift. And you may have never done that before, but I want to encourage you, just open up your hands, maybe put them on your knees, and just receive this as I pray this over you. Father, I'm so grateful for what you're showing us, even if I don't understand. I'm grateful that in the midst of the most confusing times ever in the history of this generation, Lord, you're not shocked. You're not in confusion. And I believe that you're showing us some things, even if we don't get them, even if I don't understand, Lord, you do. So I choose to stay in faith. I pray that you'd put a guard over my mouth. I pray that you'd put a guard over my ears. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to share my story and be willing to let you come into my world and encourage my friends through me. Use me for your glory. Lord, I'm tired of living in the shadows and living in the dark. And like Peter, Lord, if you can use somebody that flies off at the mouth and says embarrassing things at the wrong time, if you can use him, Lord, you can use me. If you can use Moses, who was a murderer and disobedient, who abandoned his family, Lord, you can use me. If you used Elijah that was full of depression and fear, that was suicidal, Lord, if you can bring them back from that, you can absolutely change my life. So, Lord, I pray for everyone that's walking through depression, everyone that's walking through a dark period. Lord, I pray that you would speak to them right now. Lord, I pray that you would encourage them, strengthen them. Lord, we pray that that spirit would lift off of them right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, they can say like Peter, Lord, I might have been embarrassed. I might have made mistakes, but I see it now that Jesus loved me. He restored me. I understand that I went through all those things to show what Jesus can do with someone who isn't clear, who doesn't understand, who doesn't have it all figured out. Jesus can still be glorified through all this. I praise you for what you're about to do in their life. In Jesus' name. Amen. As we close today, I want to just turn your attention to your heart. You know, if you've never walked with God, if you've never asked Him to come into your heart, today is your day. Maybe you have no idea what happens at the end of your life. But I believe that before you log off today, you should know. You should know the answer to that question. You should nail this down once and for all. And I want to invite you to make Jesus the Lord of your life. You may say, I'm not sure how to do that. I want to help you the way that somebody helped me one time. It changed my life. And God wants to change yours too. So I want to invite you to pray with me. I'll tell you what to say. And right where you are, pray this prayer with me. And God Himself will hear this, and your life will begin to change, just like He changed mine. Pray with me. The prayer goes like this. Just say, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you came and died, but rose from the grave so that I could have life and forgiveness for all of my sins. I invite you to come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Save me. I give myself to you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. My friend, if you just prayed that prayer with me, I am so incredibly proud of you. I would love to get in touch with you. I would love to hear what happened inside of your heart. Would you do me a favor? If that was your prayer and you pray with me, do me a favor. I would love to hear from you. Text the words, I prayed, all one word, I-P-R-A-Y-E-D, to the number 94090. I'd love to hear that. That would make me so proud of you if you would do that. It'd be a huge favor to me. For everyone else, man, click like, click comment, share this with your friends. Let us know what God is doing in your life. We love you. And believe it or not, we're closer to the end of this than we have ever been. God bless you, and I hope to see you soon.